Hello, everyone, and welcome to... Wait, what is this? This is a podcast. What is this podcast called? Talking Blues, a Chelsea FC podcast, right? We talk Chelsea football here on this podcast, and we haven't done so in about a month, so sorry, give me a second to refresh my memory of what's going on here. Yes, we're back. Welcome to another episode of the Talking Blues podcast. My name is Josh, and I'm joined by my co-hosts, Alex and Peter, and finally, we have a Chelsea match with us again, and not even a Chelsea match, but a Chelsea victory that wasn't looking so good in the beginning, but it got better as it went on. 2-1 victory for the Blues. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, the new signing for Chelsea. I mean, not so new anymore, but he gets his first goal in, I would say, the Chelsea blue, but it was the away kit, so the Chelsea white then. And also, Conor Gallagher, the player of the season for Crystal Palace last season, gets a standing ovation and applause when he gets subbed on and breaks the hearts of the Crystal Palace fans in the 90th minute with a late winner, an absolute strike and a beauty, and Aubameyang with a beautiful turn and a goal there. What we've been looking for from a striker, since Romelu Lukaku has left, and even before then, still seeking what we once had with Olivier Giroud. That gave me Giroud flashbacks a little bit there, even though two different types of players. Guys, your reaction to this one?
Well, I mean, first off, it's good to be back. It has been forever, you know. I also agree that it's been, like, too long. Well, obviously, but, like, it's been... I've forgotten about this, you know? It's been so long. I'm out of my element, you know? I might have to go back to the 8 minute just talking through everything about the game, you know? It's been so long. I can get all my talking and talkiness out. But, I mean, a win's a win, right? I mean, it wasn't very pretty. At times, it was very questionable. I mean, I still think that we are not playing at our best. And at least I hope we're not playing at our best, because if that's our best, we're in trouble. But it was enough to get the win, and I mean, really, that's what matters. All that matters is the end result, and we got a win as the end result. You know, we had to get saved by Conor Gallagher. I mean, that was just a brilliant goal there, and I mean, when he came on, I feel like everybody knew what was going to happen. I mean, I was like, surely he's going to score, you know? He just, like, it was, like, perfect, you know? It was written. Like, the script writers of the Premier League, they were in their bag, you know? They knew what had to happen, and I appreciate them for that. I mean, also, like you said, Josh, it's like a mirror image of Giroud, that goal. That's something Giroud always does. He holds off the defender and turns and just hits a nicely hit volley. I mean, I don't want to get too excited yet, you know, because Aubameyang obviously wearing the number 9, already not a good sign. And I mean, all of our past strikers have all started strong and slowly turned into just the worst players we've ever seen touch a football. So I don't want to get too excited, but that was very promising. We just need him to be able to keep doing that, where we can get these kind of half chances and turn them into goals. Because, I mean, our clinicalness is about what we've been struggling, and we're averaging, like, I think they said in the broadcast, like, the lowest shots we've had, Chelsea have had in the season in, like, 50 years or something. Probably wasn't 50, but in a long time. Like, so we need to take advantage of these shots, and I think... That's just what we need, and that's good on him. And I mean, like I said, a win's a win. You know, defending also at times is questionable, but I do just have to shout out Reece James. He's just so good, man. He made Zaha switch sides, and after the game, puts a little dig at him at Twitter with a lock emoji with a picture of with them both in frame. I love that. You know, he's just amazing. I think I also want to Thiago Silva's Thiago Silva. Brilliant again. I mean, I say it every single time he plays, but he just gets better with age. He ages like fine wine, you know? And I will say Fofana started shaky. You know, that Crystal Palace goal, he could have probably done better there. But I think he worked his way into the game, and I think that's... He's still so young. We still have to... There's going to be growing pains, but... I can talk about every player, which I said as a joke I was going to do, so I don't actually want to end up doing it. So I'll leave some things for Alex and Josh to talk about, but could have been better. But, you know, Graham Potter's first Premier League game is a win, and that's really all that matters in the end, is the result.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. The result is all that matters. You know, you look at the, you know, the stats, you know, Chelsea definitely dominated as well. I'll leave that for Josh because, of course, he loves to talk about that. But I think you looked how Chelsea even set up in this game. It was weird. In the beginning, it seemed like Sterling was almost going to be on the, you know, it seemed like he was more almost going to play like right wing back. And then he kind of shifted to right wing. And, you know, like if you, it kind of almost felt like a three or like a 4-2. It almost felt like a 4-2-2 at times. It's sometimes a 4-2-3-1, sometimes a 4-3-1-1. Like it just felt, it wasn't exactly, I would say, fluid yet. Obviously, they didn't get a lot of training sessions in with the international break. And he, you know, you have to adjust with the players you have. Some of these players like Mason Mount, Kai Havertz played a lot. Jorginho, I'm sure. Like, I don't know exactly all these players, how much they played. But coming back from international break, you only get a couple training sessions in. And I thought, you know, we looked relatively fluid considering that. In terms of some other players that you didn't mention, I thought Mason Mount had a, you know, okay game. Kai Havertz, I thought, looked a lot better in that number 10 position than he did up front. Aubameyang, I thought, had really good movement, coming deep sometimes, just kind of progressing the play forward, which sometimes is really needed for Chelsea, and I thought he did really well with that. In terms of the goal there, you know, Thiago Silva gets the long ball from Reece James, Thiago Silva heads it down, and Aubameyang, that twist, turn, and finish into the bottom corner was just spectacular. And Gallagher coming on, you know, I'm interested to see how they use Gallagher, right, because it's not going to be in that pivot anymore. It's going to be more as an eight, I think, rather than a six. So it's going to be interesting to see how he fits in. Is he going to get more game time under Graham Potter? So I'm excited to see that. And I assume he's going to have some sort of role midweek against Milan in the Champions League. You know, besides that, I do want to bring up one other thing. Obviously, there was that controversial Thiago Silva handball. Some people thought it was a foul. Some people thought it was a yellow card. Some people for handball, some people thought it was a denial of a goal scoring opportunity. I just want to get your guys' thoughts on it. Personally, I think the decision was right because there was players coming back. So I don't think it was a denial of a goal scoring opportunity. I think looking back on it, initially I was like, oh my God, he got fouled. But looking back on it, I think it was kind of a flop. So I think the yellow card was the right decision.
For me, I mean, I don't even know because I think it's like a 50-50, really. I could see both sides of it. I mean, like you said, Alex, there are players coming back, so is it really a clear goal-scoring opportunity? He still has a ways to go. I think there was time for some of our defenders to recover. But then again, that's also, like, that's kind of last man. And, you know, that's a very, very intentional handball, which obviously is shaky. So, I mean, as a Chelsea fan, it's the correct call. I mean, I see nothing wrong, but I could also see the other side of it. But, you know, the ref called what they called. And, oh, no, we're going to just have to deal with that. Yellow card, great call, ref.
Yeah, Alex, nice job with your hosting duties over there, posing the questions now. I would agree with Peter. I think it could have gone either way, and it just happened to go on the side of where it went, which was Chelsea's way. But I don't know, 50-50. It could have gone to both sides. Okay, so I guess we can do the stats now because that is what you said is my favorite part. So yeah, sure. 13-7, Chelsea led shots there. 3-3 shots on target between both clubs. 64% possession, Chelsea led that. 635 passes for Chelsea to 348 for Crystal Palace. Fouls 13-11, Chelsea led that. Yellow cards 3-1, Chelsea led that as well. No reds in this game. 1 offsides for Crystal Palace and 5-2 in corners. Crystal Palace led that. With this win for Chelsea, they now sit 5th in the Premier League table with 13 points, trying to get themselves back up to speed here and back up to pace of, you know, what they're normally like in the Premier League, and that's top 4.
Yeah, you know, great to be back closer to the top of the table. We got a game in hand over some of the other top clubs, and it's, you know, it's looking positive for the future, hopefully. Another look into the future now, a little bit of transfer news. You're, you know, shocked, you know, the transfer window is over, but Chelsea and RB Leipzig's Christopher Nkunku, I don't know how to say it, Nkunku, you know, kind of more of an attacking midfielder, striker, Falstein type of player, more of an attacker, I'd say, had his medical with Chelsea, a medical, I guess, like a pre-medical, like official medical, obviously, because he wouldn't be signing till the end, or till the end of the season or in the summer, next summer. But he does have a £60 million release clause that, you know, can be activated for Leipzig, and he could come to Chelsea at the end of this season. I guess we can talk about it a little bit. So I'm sure this is going to be kind of a developing story we're going to talk about throughout the entire season. Chelsea are keen to negotiate a little bit down from that £60 million fee. The player is interested and is expected to accept contract, you know, a personal terms with Chelsea. I know Peter talked about him a little bit over the summer. I just wanted to kind of get your senses, you know, what you guys are thinking about that potential move before we kind of move on to the player ratings.
I think Josh is having PTSD right now. Bundesliga attacker Red Bulls Leipzig.
I know.
We've seen this one before, you know, with the GOAT Timo, obviously. They're really not comparable players, I'd say. Nkunku is more someone who creates the space and creates the chance for the other players, but he's also a good finisher. I mean, I'm not going to complain about creative attackers and talented attackers, because really that's what we've been missing. That's what we're needing. Like I said earlier, we've like the shot numbers we're averaging are like way below what we usually do. So obviously, you know, bringing in more attackers couldn't hurt that. So I'd be completely down. Like you said, Alex, I talked about him over in the summer transfer window. I was excited if we could sign him then, but I didn't think that was possible. But if we could sign him now, I'd still be extremely excited. I want to hear Josh's thoughts, because, you know, he hates the Bundesliga, you know. So we'll see. But I would love it. I would love that signing.
I just think we're talking about it way too early. It's still like months away from 2023. And
Fabrizio talked about it, man. So that
yeah,
makes
you're
it
speaking about it like it's the new year. Yeah, it's almost. October 2nd, guys.
You got to get excited.
Okay. I mean, he's 24 years old, so another young player, but you know what happens when Chelsea bring in young guys in the Bundesliga, especially Leipzig.
So. Did you see that Timo Werner scored the most goals in Leipzig history? I believe he just hit the 100 mark. So
yeah, I'm sure he did, because immediately when he went back to the Bundesliga, he's absolutely balling.
No, but I mean, all I'm saying is he's actually, if he comes back in, if it's funny, because he actually fits our system better now than he did. Like, if he came back in now, surely he wouldn't fail again. We have to start a hashtag resign Timo, guys. Oh, everyone Jesus wants Christ. It. Everybody wants it. It's happening, guys. Start the movement.
Since it was a Chelsea victory, are we doing player ratings? Like, I do have them here if we want to do them. I just didn't know, like, what your plan
is. Yeah, we'll run through them quickly. Quick run through.
I mean, it's literally like we've been here for 14 minutes almost. I mean, it's not like the end of the world, Alex. Why? What do you need to do quick? You got stuff to do. I mean,
no. It doesn't have to be. But I thought you were saying I whatever. Don't worry about it. Let's just do it.
I mean, if we can wait 40 minutes for Peter to get here, we can run through
that. That's true. Peter was so late to this podcast.
Why am I catching shade for no reason?
Unacceptable. Yeah, I don't know.
Took forever. We were sitting here.
Okay, guys. Player ratings. Good game. Obviously, Chelsea win against Crystal Palace. So let's jump straight in. Goalkeeper, what are you guys thinking for Kepa?
Peter's podcast host rating is a 1 out of 10. All right.
So bad.
It's because I do it.
All right,
I'm hating. No, fine. I'll keep Alex. You can handle the player ratings in your end. I'll just mute here. Like I'm trying to. I'll just mute. You can do it on your own. You know.
All right, Kepa. I'm gonna go 6 out of 10. What do you think?
Yeah,
7,
I would
maybe?
Have said 5 or 6. I mean, he there was that one play where it looked like he like almost left it, and it like almost went bottom corner. But I mean, besides that, didn't really have to do too much, and couldn't have really done much. So I think 6 is fair, probably.
Since it is our first episode, like in a month, I should have run through it a little bit better. But I'll just let you know now. True. We use the Absolute Chelsea Sports Illustrated site, and Alex and Peter, or whoever it is, Alex and Peter, basically, they run, or whoever it is in an episode, you know, it could be one of them. But they go through it and guess, you know, the rating depending on, and then they get it right or wrong. We have it out of 11 last year. I think the best
right
was.
Obviously.
7 for 11. They're trying to top that this year, although we've only had one attempt, and that was October 6th, right in the beginning of the Premier League season. Because after that point, we had the Queen's death, and then also the Chelsea's death because Thomas Tuchel's gone, and they kept on losing all these matches.
So. Oh my god, I can't believe you just said that.
I'm not wrong. So, anyway, you guys are starting off on the strong. What is it? The strong foot. What is it? Isn't there like a
strong? I don't know. Just let's.
You guys
the
are
right
trying,
foot. You're starting right. off on the right foot.
Oh, right. Yeah, right foot. But except it's the left because you're 0 for 1, and they gave Kepa a 7 out of 10. Let's move on to Reece James now, and I do give them a hint if it is a half because sometimes they do like 0.5. So Reece James, it is a half.
7.5.
Oh, yeah, okay. Bro, agree. Easy.
Agreed.
Confirmed correct, but it's going to be wrong. So
No. 1 for 2. Halfway there.
Let's go.
Thiago Silva.
7.
8 out of 10.
Ooh, I'd go 8.
7 too. Out of 10.
No. With the assist.
8 out of 10.
8 out of 10.
Good adjustment. You know, I would agree with you, except Sports Illustrated wouldn't agree with you. It's a 7 out of 10 for Thiago Silva.
Because of the yellow. I told you.
No, I told you.
I said seven.
Oh, I said 7.
You said 8. And then I was like, oh, I guess 8's fair.
And then I went back to 7.
Look at Albert. Alex is selling, Josh. Nah, you agree with me, right? Alex doesn't want to break the record. Nah.
Wesley Fofana. I don't think we've done Fofana yet in these ratings.
6.
Correct. That puts you to 2 for 4, so still halfway. Pretty consistent. Going to go for 8. Well, let's see. Ben Chilwell.
6.
5? Did he do anything to be a 6? I feel like 5 is average, you know?
Fofana was a 6. I think he was similar to Fofana.
Was he?
I don't know.
I swear he didn't touch the ball at all, you know?
Yeah, he touched the ball a little bit.
Never.
All right, what are we going with?
I said five, you said six. I'll go with six because then it'll be funny when you're wrong again. And then right, I'm going to sound very stupid when it is 6. So that's 6. It's a win-win, you know?
A very short description for Mr. Chilwell. Struggled with the pace of the match, in particular when defending Zaha. So if he struggled, then why wouldn't it be a five?
Is it a 5?
A 5 for Ben Chilwell.
That's 2 for 2 on... If we've just listened to the first thing I've said, we'd be perfect right now. That's all I'll say.
Next one, we'll listen to whatever you say first.
No.
All right, let's
go. 2 for 5, Jorginho's up.
6.
I'd say 6 as well.
2 for 6, Jorginho gets the lowest score on this list so far, a 4.
He wasn't that bad.
I mean, he did get cooked. I mean, our midfield has... consistently been getting ran around, and I mean, I have to say that did continue, so I guess that's kind of fair.
Mateo Kovacic.
6. I guess a 5 in comparison.
5, 6. I'll go 5.
No, let's go 6.
No, we're going 5. All right, 5. That's our guess.
Agreement between both of you?
Yes.
Sure, 5.
Correct. It's a 5 for Mateo Kovacic.
Yep, exactly. Alex, man, you really... have you...
I've lost it. 3 for 7. Let's go on to Mason Mount up front.
6.
5.
All right, we'll go 5.
You're now 3 for 8. Mason Mount also gets a disappointing result. A 4.
That's actually kind of fair. I was going to say 4, but since Alex said 6, I don't want to guess 2 down because that would make him look really stupid if I got it right.
Kai Havertz, he gets a 0.5.
5.5. Yep, for sure.
Not for sure. 3 for 9. This is going
4.5?
6.5
for Kai.
6.
Ooh.
Interesting. I don't like
we're
that.
We're not very good at this, Alex. No. It's the rust. It's the rust.
Agreed.
Rust. Everyone has to understand that. We're rusty.
Raheem the Dream, 6, 5,
5. 5. They're kind of hating on the attack. 5. Well, apparently not with Havertz, but I'd say 5.
5.
All right, good call there. So 4 for 10. Raheem Sterling was in fact a 5. And now the man, our striker, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang.
7.
What did Silva get?
8.
Thiago Silva? No. Thiago Silva got a 7.
Oh. 7, yeah. Seven, yeah.
It's an 8 for Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang.
Oh, really? Silva was better than Aubameyang today, has to be said.
It does have to be.
Aubameyang with the highest rating out of the Chelsea.
They're goal merchants 11. At Sports Illustrated.
And you guys,
no, their goal involvements, man, they boost them up from a three level performance to a 6-level performance. I swear.
This is BS. And
they're scoreboard watchers. They're scoreboard watchers.
I can. I'll go through the subs just for fun. Ruben Loftus-Cheek, just throw out one.
5.
Sure.
6.
Yeah. Amando Broja.
5, 6.
5. They don't play enough to have anything higher or lower than a 5. I'd assume.
Yep. Both of them get 5s. Peter's on fire, man. Should have done all this right. All alone. Connor Gallagher, if Alex
wasn't here, 7. If I stalled longer and had Alex eventually grow bored of me of waiting for me to come here, then we would have set the record.
Connor Gallagher gets a 0.5 in his
7.5.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep, 7.5, and then we end with Christian Pulisic.
He got an assist, even though it was a layoff. It's 6. So 6.
It's a 7 for Christian
Pulisic. Of course, you,
as we said,
goal involvement merchants,
dude.
And that does it for your Chelsea player ratings. Chelsea versus Crystal Palace on October the 1st. We're already in October, guys. It's crazy. We haven't recorded more than one episode in September. I think we're already in October.
Yeah. But well, it was the Queen's death and then
Chelsea's death.
International break. So it was tough. So that was like 3 weeks. And then we also missed a week because I believe it was the beginning of school. So, you know, partially our fault and partially just stuff that happens, you know?
Yeah. I mean, they shut down the Premier League. What are we going to record about? So
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. We had nothing to record about.
I don't know. Peter's performance in his game. I don't know.
Player ratings. What was the player rating for my last game?
I mean, I wasn't
2 out of 10.
Player ratings for your last game of running up and down the sideline, watching you hobbling on one leg. I'm gonna give it a good 3 on that one.
I would agree.
Maybe a 3.5. For everyone listening, to actually like understand what the heck is going on, Peter's on the varsity soccer team at our high school, and unfortunately, he's just. So injury prone, you know.
I'm like Conte, guys. It's unfortunate. You know, when I'm out there, I'm best player on the pitch, but you know.
But the injury troubles get to him.
The injury troubles get to me, man.
Yeah. So right now, Peter's job mainly in his games is to yell at people and hobble to each side on where the ball is on one leg.
He's great.
Is that a fair assessment? I'm not wrong.
I'm honorary team manager, you know. I'm like one of Tuchel's assistants. No,
Graham Potter's assistants.
I fumbled there. I slipped.
I mean, it seems like whatever they've been working on in training, it seems like the guys like him. I mean, they played for him. I mean, the system was. I mean, Crystal Palace being up 1-0, but for little amount of time. I don't know. Crystal Palace really had the gas pedal on there for that first half, I think. Mm-hmm. At least definitely the first 25 minutes, and then it kind of turned tides once the second half began. True. So, I don't know. We'll have to see. There's more football to watch, and definitely this upcoming match in the Champions League is a huge deal because Chelsea's already behind in that. It's match day 3 of 6. It's against Milan, and they are first with 4 points, Chelsea in fourth with 1 point. They are last right now. Last in this group. A group that has Dynamo Zagreb in it, which...
What do you mean? Croatian powerhouses?
Don't disrespect them.
Respect the Croatian powerhouses?
Salzburg and Milan. We were happy with this group when we got it. I just want to let you guys know that. We were happy.
I mean...
We were excited. Well,
We didn't expect
us to be a Finnish club.
Yeah, we didn't expect that... Tuchel would forget how to manage and all our players would forget how to play, you know? And
Chelsea would forget how to give a manager time.
Yeah. Well, no, they never knew how to do that.
Well, yeah, they don't forget. They just continue the cycle.
Yeah.
All right. Guys, you ready to wrap this one up?
Yes, sir.
I am.
All right. So you can follow us on Twitter at Talking Blues Pod. We really appreciate it. Alex on Twitter at Annoying23. I'm on Twitter at JoshSola29. You could subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Go to ShippingStudios.com/TalkingBlues to find out all the places to listen to the podcast. And if I talk too fast, you weren't listening. It's all good because that info will be in the podcast notes. Thanks so much for listening to this episode. We hope to be on a more frequent schedule since Chelsea football is back and it has returned. And we'll see you all next time for another episode. Go Blues.
Welcome to the All 80s Movies Podcast.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Jason. And this is the podcast where we talk about the blockbusters, the flops, and everything in between from one of the freshest decades for movies, the 1980s. So whether you're a brain, a jock, a valley girl, or a Jedi, we've got some 80s classics for you.
Do these movies stand the test of time? Are we discovering something new? Is there an 80s movie we're finally watching for the first time?
Join us each week as we dive into the cinematic nostalgia that inspired and influenced a generation. From the hits to the cult classics, we'll discuss our earliest memories, favorite scenes, fun facts, and our not-so-favorite movie moments, too.
It's the All 80s Movies Podcast, now available on all major streaming platforms. Please subscribe and happy listening.